Hello everyone and welcome to the fourth instalment of our brand new web series Fringe Fridays, where today we are going to be chatting to Ben Mowbray, who is the company director of R Star Theatre Company based in Ledbury, Herefordshire. And today we are going to be chatting to Ben about how he got into theatre, the initial setup behind R Star Theatre Company, and what lockdown has been like for the company as they have been getting ready to resume live performances, which will be happening over the next few weeks, as well as the radio plays that they have been producing over lockdown, which one has been involved in the online Edinburgh Fringe Festival showcase. So, let's begin.
Ben, welcome to the Stage Place.
Hello, thanks very much.
Thanks for coming on, Ben. How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. Keeping on. Sheltering from the rain at the moment.
Yeah, it has been pretty bad here as well. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, it's very kind of you. Thank you.
And so let's start then. So for people who don't know you, Ben, can you tell me a little bit about your pathway, your journey into theatre, and subsequently why you decided to start up R Star Theatre Company?
I've been doing theatre since I was about half the height I am now, so kind of about age 11. And I started off doing pantomime chorus at my local theatre in Ledbury in Herefordshire. And from that, you know, you go on and you do the school play, and then you go and do the lead in the school play, and then you go and start doing productions with real adults in kind of amateur dramatics. And it went on from there, and eventually it led me to doing a foundation course at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama. And from that, that kind of gave me the honing skills that I had to then set up R Star Theatre Company. The reason I set up the company was really me being a bit indecisive. I went and auditioned for kind of doing BA courses at drama schools and, you know, going to rounds and rounds of auditions in London and all over the country. And I was going for the acting courses, and there was some point where I thought to myself, well, why am I going for the acting when I like directing and I like producing and I like lighting design and, you know, all these different jobs in theatre that over the years I've just found myself kind of doing as a favour to a mate or something. I thought I'm really doing this. So I decided the best thing to do would be to set up my own company. And, you know, our tagline is homegrown in Herefordshire. And that's very important. I really like where I live, gorgeous part of the world. So I wanted to stay around here. And to stay around here and make a career in theatre, your options are more limited than if you're going somewhere like London. So I thought, if I set up my own company, I can do what I want, I can produce what I want. And it all went from there, really. So we set the company up in June 2016. So we just had our fourth anniversary just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, in lockdown, was it like Zoom meeting or whatever to like cheers everyone? Or
a few of us met up for a quiz on the weekend. So. The teeth of Zoom quizzes now, though. So.
Yeah, and what you've just pointed out there is brilliant, because, you know, the whole idea of our podcast as well is that it's about getting to know people behind the actors. Mm-hmm. So getting to know those producers, those directors, those lighting designers. And I said it for myself as well in the previous episode, how I was really just blindsided by acting until I went to college and university. And suddenly I found out about the lighting design and about stage management and producing. And suddenly from there, that's when kind of my head got turned and I found my way into a different part of the industry that is more stable as well than acting. Yeah. So that really rang true. And what you were also just saying there about the company, about being homegrown over lockdown, you've kept that spirit alive through loads of radio plays, done to name Boom Room, Airfield, 10 Ebbing Court, Almost the Birthday Party, and Hannay Stands First, which is a two-part thriller sequel to the infamous stage production, which you actually staged not too long ago as a company. Is that true?
Just over a year ago, we went on tour with the 39 Steps, yeah.
And so with those radio plays, and I know that one is being used for the online Edinburgh Fringe Festival company at the moment, why did you decide to do some radio plays over lockdown and keep your audiences engaged throughout this time?
Well, you struck the nail on the head there, really, Elliot, because as you said, I wanted to keep our audiences engaged. And since we've formed, we've gained a really loyal and solid audience base. And for them to just kind of not have anything from us, not hear anything, that didn't quite strike right with me. I looked into all sorts of possibilities, including Zoom plays. And by the time I got round to it, I once lockdown happened, I had about 3 weeks off or so, just kind of settling my own nerves. by that point, I was sick to the teeth of anything Zoom related already. So I thought, well, if I do a radio play, that's something that if we can edit it well and, you know, get everyone to have decent recordings, we could make it sound as if it was made in normal times. And I think people want to be reminded of a bit of normality, a very unnormal time. So that's how it started, really. And radio plays also, for a little indulgence on my part, it was an excuse to learn how to master my editing skills a little more with sound. Yeah. So we all meet on a Zoom call to rehearse, and we read through the play, and we then discuss the play, we read through it again, then we all go off individually and we record our parts, and we do it in an order. So actor number one will record their lines, put it into a Dropbox so everyone can see it. The next person in the line will then put some headphones on, listen to actor number one and record their lines in response. And that's really important. So that's how we can make it sound like everyone's in the same room at the same time, rather than it's kind of jerking and sounding, you know, like everyone's not really listening to each other. From there, we've kind of Stands Fast is probably our seventh, I think. Yeah, part one. Part two is going to be number eight.
Amazing. And I should say as well, what was that discussion like when you were first thinking about doing these radio plays? Like, was everybody on board with it? And because some of the plays as well, some of them are published plays, as I believe we spoke a little bit beforehand, that Boom Room is a newly written play for the festival, for the online festival. So how did these radio plays come about with your companies?
Yes, what I did for each radio play is I found a script, and then I thought, who might fit these parts, who I know, who I've worked with before in the company. So then I got the cast together for our first one. I just gave them a phone call and I rang them up and I said, do you think this will work? And are you happy to give it a go? If it fails miserably, we just won't publish it. But, you know, we haven't lost anything. We were doing nothing at home. So we gave it a go. We got a really good reception on it. And from that one, we went on to our second and third. The third being Boom Room. And as you said, Boom Room is currently live being streamed online at the Space UK's online streaming festival in replacement of the Edinburgh Festival. That's very exciting. We're really glad to keep part of the festival at the moment when sadly it can't happen, because we were meant to be going up there, as I know you were, very sad. But, you know, we're glad to still be involved in some way and get our radio plays heard by a larger audience as well.
Yeah, and obviously you've just spoken about it there. Obviously, I know it's the elephant in the room. It's the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You were meant to be going up with your upcoming production of Deaths at Sea, which centres around a small theatre company performing a murder and mystery play. You have recently announced, though, that the production will be restaged next year, and you're going to go on a mini tour, am I right, with that production?
Yeah, that's right. So we're going on tour. We're starting very local to where we're based. So we're starting at Bosbury Parish Hall, which is near Ledbury. Again, part of our company's ethos is based on rural touring. So Bosbury is a little village just outside Ledbury, somewhere where you don't get a lot of theatre. So it's really important to us that we try and go to these kind of venues as well. And that's in the last week of April. And then we're running until the end of June. So we're going all over the west of England, really. So we're going as far down as Exeter and as far north as up in North Shropshire, all around. And we're doing a couple of months of touring. And then after that, we're going to the Brighton Festival in May. And then we're going up to Edinburgh Festival in August with it.
Amazing. And I love touring so much. Like, I did a little bit when I took my show up to Edinburgh in 2015. We did a mini tour beforehand. What do you love about touring so much and going to these different venues?
Well, as soon as I set the company up, I knew I wanted to tour. I didn't just want to be a company that did residencies in one venue. For me, I just love going to different theatres and I love building connections with people at these theatres. Lots of the theatres are very varied and they're ran in slightly different ways. Some are ran as a professional venue, others are ran entirely by volunteers. And both are equally as enjoyable and I get a lot from them. You learn kind of tricks of the trade and things I didn't know about. And it increases your network and it increases your exposure as your plays are being seen by audiences from different towns and different cities and different areas. And from that, we're getting people who follow us all around. And, you know, if we don't go back to a certain town for the next tour, lots of people from that town will travel to you know, the next nearest place to come and visit us now. It pays off for us financially, but most of all, it's really rewarding. And I love theatres. I've got a real passion for theatres as buildings itself. And just going to a variety of them, I think I'd get bored being in the same place performing all the time. I think, you know, that's how I started off. Growing up, I performed with the Amateur Dramatics at the Market Theatre in Ledbury. And that's how I started for years and years and years. And it's a lovely little studio theatre. But after a while, you wonder what, you know, the theatre 10 miles away is like and the theatre 20 miles away is like.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's you're absolutely right as well with connections and the networking of different people. Because like you say, some of them are professional venues and some of them may not be. And it's just so nice probably just to see different parts of the world. And also to just hear there what you were just saying about people will travel to the next available venue to come and see you. They've seen you before and they've clearly loved the standard of work that you do. That must be so nice as someone who has set up this company for that exact reason, that people really are quite loyal to your company.
And, you know, it's very gratifying, really. And again, that brings me back to why we started doing our radio plays. It's something to say thank you to our audiences for sticking with us, and we're going to try and stick with you now and get something else out to you. Yes, and I'm really grateful for our support we've had from the audiences, and I know that when we're back at it, we'll, you know, hopefully they'll come back and join us and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, and that's Deficit C, which we were just chatting about there. But for people who can't wait for the return of that show, you have also recently announced, rather excitingly, that you will be staging A Man of Letters at the Dragon Orchard in Putley. What was that like, actually, to recently get that news that you can do outdoor productions? How soon were you like, right, we're going to get one out. We need to just get back on that stage.
Do you know, it really happened a lot by chance, and a lot was out of my hands, really, with this one. Very grateful it's all seemed to pan out the way it has. On the 1st of August, the government announced that from that date, we were allowed to perform outdoors. And I thought, great, that's fantastic. And I half-heartedly kind of looked at possibilities and where to do it and how we might do it. But I just kind of went away and I thought, well, it's probably not possible. And, you know, and then when I emailed out our last radio play to our mailing list, Hannay Stands Fast, a chap emailed me in reply called Norman Stanier. And he said, I own a venue called Dragon Orchard, and it's an orchard in the middle of nowhere. And it's got a performance area and it's very grand designed. It's this big kind of straw bale curve that they call the Big Hug. And it's clad in like old fashioned straw hay, you know, a clay. And it's this gorgeous, gorgeous venue that he just has sitting in the middle of one of his orchards. This farmer who produces his own local cider. And he said, we'd be more than happy to have you perform here. And we'd really like it if you've thought about doing an outdoor show. And from that, I just leapt at it, really. It was the most ideal venue. I went to look at it, had a chat with Norman, and it all went from there. So I had to find a show. I didn't know what show we could do. And I found this lovely little script. So it's a man of letters. It's about two chaps who are on the roof of a building putting up some signage on the top of a building for a company. And it's all about kind of a lovely comedy about two people who are from opposite sides of the spectrum. And really, really lovely show. Going to be really fun to perform. And we've started rehearsing all outdoors and in all weathers. So, you know, we might be rehearsing in the rain tomorrow, but every eventuality being Britain. But it's a very exciting prospect. So I'm just thrilled to be back at it, really. After our production in March was cancelled, we were going to do Kinder Transport at the Conquest Theatre in Bromyard as a residency production. And sadly, we had to cancel a week before our dress rehearsal, which was quite a devastating turn of events. But this has just lifted us completely.
Yeah. And will you still be continuing with your radio plays alongside the new production?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're a very small team and there's going to be lots of juggling. But we've got to get our second part of Hannay Stands Fast coming out to our audiences in the next month or so, which will tie up all the events from anyone who's listened to part one. But yeah, so we're still going to be releasing radio plays as well as doing live theatre. And obviously this has got to be socially distanced and we've had lots we've had to put in place, which does limit us to what we're doing. And, you know, for example, the show is one act, which makes it toilet proof is what we call it. So we're making sure that it's something that the audience can last with, you know, having a wee before they turn up, and then they can last till they get home is the plan.
And what you were just saying there about you being a small company, we should also just mention that our Star Theatre Company has a youth theatre as well. Pretty amazing, I think, also, for such a brilliant company. Talk to me a little bit about that youth theatre and why you decided that not only were you going to do productions, that a youth theatre was on the cards as well.
Well, do you know, when we started the company, I set up the company, as I said, in June 2016, and I didn't invest a single penny of money into the company. It had £0 in the bank account. And the way we started off to fund our first production, I sent letters off to loads and loads and loads of local schools, and none of them came back other than one school. So we got a reply from a school called Colwell Primary School near Malvern. And they said, right, we'd like you to come in and run an after-school drama club once a week. And from just doing that and getting all the students to come along, that paid for our first production. And that's how we were able to start doing our theatre. So the workshops actually came about before the theatre in a way. And then from that, our funds were able to snowball a bit. So we were able to fund bigger and better shows. But from doing our workshop at Colwell, we then did workshops in about five different schools. So we go into five different schools all throughout Herefordshire, Worcestershire and Gloucestershire. Then we also run the youth theatre programme at Malvern Theatre. So that's from ages 8 up to 18. And that's probably our most prestigious gig, so to speak, to run it in, such a highly thought of theatre, professional theatre. So we have a really good intake of students, and we encourage them to take part in live productions as well as the training we're offering in a workshop form. So I always say to them, you must put these workshops into practice. And if the opportunity comes up to be in a play, that's how you're going to learn. And that's something we really stand by. And from that, we do put on youth productions every now and then, or productions that involve youth or involve community performers as a learning experience, as well as just to tread the boards.
And also what you're just saying there about the startup of the company and sending letters out to all these schools, I think that's what a lot of people maybe not understand, like how much that actually takes to do that and, to really give yourself out there and as a new company that have not done anything before, for a school to have that trust in you and do that after school. That must have been absolutely mad, in 2016 to have actually take you on as an after school club. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I contacted them with this letter, and I tried to big myself up as much as possible, and saying I trained here and I got these acting credits and I work here part-time, and so you do try and kind of make yourself sound like you know what you're doing, and then the more you do it, the more you do know what you're doing. So it really paid off for me, and I really do put my work in schools down to the success of the company entirely.
Yeah. And so, from 2016, you've had your youth theatres, you've had all these productions that you put on, so many throughout the year. It's insane when I'm looking at your Facebook page and there's so many productions coming out. You've then gone to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for a couple of years. You've done your radio plays. You're about to put on an outdoor production. You've done so much that I'm sure this next question is going to be really difficult to answer. But what has been your highlight of the setting up and being a part of our Star Theatre Company?
Something I touched on earlier is the touring. I think probably touring around the country is one of my most favourite things that I've done with the company. And to do that with a bunch of professionals in their own individual fields within the art, lots of which I would, I do call friends, and we've become very, very close as a result. That's been my favourite thing. And building those connections and having all those friends and all those venues and all those audiences that come along. And I don't think you could top that.
No, that's amazing. And I think also what I've gathered from this as well is, what you were saying earlier on about audiences coming back for more, not even in the location that they've seen you before, but to have that loyal fan base, I think that must really ring home to just the exact reason why you set up the company.
It really does.
Yeah. And so my final question usually on these podcasts is to ask the guests where their stagey place is. So this could be somewhere that you've seen your favourite show, this could be somewhere where theatre started for you, or just where you really consider the heart of theatre to be around your area. So for you, Ben, as my final question today, whereabouts is your stagey place?
my stagey place has got to be Malvern Theatres. And for the past couple of years, I've worked there as a stage crew, going in to do all the get-ins and get-outs for the touring productions and doing in-house productions and the pantomimes and things like that. And I've learned so much doing that on a practical level, rather than kind of going off and studying. I've gone in at the deep end, not had a clue what I'm doing, and learned on the job. And I think that was an invaluable skill that I've learned. It's my local big venue, the biggest theatre locally to me. And then you've got the Everyman Cheltenham after that. But Malvern's somewhere I've always been going since I was about four, going to the local pantomime every year. And then, you know, going to watch my sister, who used to be in the kids' chorus in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat with the local dance school. It's just somewhere I've always been, I've always loved, and will always have a special place in my heart.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Ben, so much for coming on to the Stagey Place. Before we leave, is there anything that you'd like to plug for the future, whether or not that's with your company, with any productions that you've got going on? Is there anything that you'd like to end the podcast on?
I'd love to do a plug. Yes, I couldn't leave without plugging our upcoming production. So that's A Man of Letters by Tim Firth. Tim Firth wrote Calendar Girls as well, if you're looking for a bit of reference there. So the production is on at Dragon Orchard, which is a lovely, gorgeous orchard outside in Putley. Putley's near Ledbury in Herefordshire, just off the M50, if you're travelling a distance. It's on from the 4th to the 6th of September at 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock every day. You can buy your tickets and learn more about the show if you go to www.ourstartheatrecompany.com, or you can ring our box office hotline on 077-42-878-329. Also on our website, you're going to find all of our radio plays that we've got released. If you go to our What's On page, you can click on any of them. It's going to send you to our YouTube channel, and all of our radio plays on there, and you'll find everything you want to know about the company.
And if anybody wants to follow you on social media, where can they find you?
Social media, we're on Facebook. If you just type in Our Star Theatre Company, we'll come up. And on Twitter and Instagram, our handles are at Our Star Theatre. So you can go on Twitter, Instagram at Our Star Theatre, or just type in Our Star Theatre Company on Facebook.
Amazing. Well, Ben, once again, thank you so much for coming on. And I do wish you all the success, though I know everything will be a success from everything that I've seen before in the past with the future. So thank you so much for coming on.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
And there we go. That was our episode with Ben Mowbray. I'd like to thank Ben once again for coming into the virtual studio to chat with me today. It's been a real pleasure to get to know Ben, as I've known him for a couple of years now, but to really find out about his company, Our Star Theatre Company. If you are new to The Stage Place, then my name's Elliot, and we release episodes every single Wednesday, with the Fringe Friday episodes going out every Friday at 4 p.m. You can catch us over on Instagram at The Stage Place. Until next time, I hope you're keeping well, and I look forward to hear from you soon.